In today's episode, we share our top six church resolutions for the new year. 2020 has been a year of monumental change. If you're like most pastors, your prayer is that God would do great things in your church in 2021. Join us as we share six of the best resolutions that can help make 2021 great for your church. We hope this conversation helps you reach people the right way. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Well, hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right podcast, episode number 26. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me today, as always, is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. Hey, Thomas.
Ian, how's it going, man?
It's going good. Can't complain, even though there's been plenty to complain about in 2020. I'm counting my blessings and choosing not to.
But it is done. The last podcast episode of 2020. Yeah. Excited for what 2021 will become. I have a hunch that the beginning might be kind of similar to 2020, but it should be. I think God's got good things in store. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wanted to interject there before we kept going. One of the funny things that one of the pastors said that was preaching this last weekend at my church was that if you're thinking that, you know, all of a sudden when the ball drops, you know, to midnight, you know, and we change to 2021, that everything's going to be better and magically just be back to normal, then you're going to be disappointed.
You got another thing coming. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know where that thinking comes from, but that's something that I think has been pervasive
Everyone's just like,
emotions to years like this. So,
right.
Yeah. But in that vein, I think we have a good conversation we're going to have today. Should be a fun one. We are going to do something a little different today, but it's the top church New Year's resolutions for 2021, kind of in that New Year's theme. We're going to be going for it. And what we're going to do today is you and I, each unbeknownst to the other one, we came up with three of our own top resolutions for the year. So we're going to see if we agree or disagree or think if they're any good. I think we'll agree.
And if we chose the same ones or something, it might be a short podcast today. We'll see.
It might be. I brought one backup. So I have a backup resolution just in case.
Good.
We overlap on one of those there. But I think it should be good. So I watched a clip from Saturday Night Live this weekend, and it kind of reminds me of that. It was the news part where Che and Colin, they get together, and then what they did is they wrote jokes for one another. So each one, and they read it live for the first time on air, having never seen the joke before.
That's good.
And what the Che, who's black, he happens to write like racist jokes for the white guy to tell on air before he knows anything. So hopefully we don't have any of that kind of stuff today. We're not going to set each other up. It's just going to be, it'll be new to both of us, and you'll get to see what we think of these resolutions live on the spot here. So we didn't decide this, but do you want to go first?
I will. And yeah, so my first one that just came to mind was, you know, don't let whatever happens politically take you off mission as a church. So I think that we've come out of a very just tumultuous not only 2020 but election process, and there's still, you know, both sides going, there's still things in motion and process. And no matter the guy in the office, you know, whatever you feel like, don't let it take you off your mission, you know, and that is to lead. Cause no matter who's in there, you know, the mission is still the same until the Lord comes back. And that's to lead as many people to Jesus as possible. So I think that there will be that temptation that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. I had one pastor the other day say that, I'm not sure if we'll be in bunkers. We might be in a bunker. It might be hard to reach people this next year in 2021. And I just, you know, it might be. So don't have the bunker mentality with that and stay on mission.
Yeah, I think that that's really good advice. I think that I think it's good to call that a resolution too, because I know for me, I had to resolve to not get political, because I think a lot of times, man, as much as we say we don't want to be political, how many times in our lives do we like get one of those, you see one of those Facebook posts or an Instagram post, and you just like say, boy, I know I'm not supposed to be political, but I just need to set the record straight on this guy, because he doesn't really know what's going on, or he doesn't really understand the truth behind this stuff here. And man, it is something that if you don't have resolve behind it and say that, like, I'm not going to do that, like, and commit to the Lord, even that's one of your missions for this year, to not let political things sway you one way or the other, or get deep into the weeds on that. I think that is something that, that I think you really need to do. I think that's something that, and you know, we had a whole podcast about, dealing with this right after the election. We did a whole episode on that. And I think that there's just so much value in not getting political, because like we said, then half of your audience is immediately removed from taking you seriously the moment you start to get political with these kinds of things. And so I count the cost big time before you do anything like that. But I think that's a good one. At first I was like, well, I don't know if that's like, it seems like it's more just like a good idea or a good practice, but I think it really does take resolve to say, I'm not going to do that at all costs.
That's it. And no matter what happens, you know, I think that one thing too that comes to mind with this is that, you know, I've heard some people say, well, I don't know how we're going to be able to reach people if the government just shuts us down and we can't go out anymore until this, the vaccine and all this stuff. Yeah. And there's still going to be ways to reach people until God comes back. There's still going to be ways to reach people. So no matter what happens, we have to be intentional and stay on mission. So,
yeah, I think that for those that have the right kind of attitude right now, our ability to reach people today is even stronger than it was pre-pandemic. We have more opportunities and more technology and tools at our disposal to take the gospel even further. Mm. You know, I think this, like I think 30 years ago, people would have read the verse of going into all the world and preaching the gospel, these kinds of ideas, and going to the ends of the earth from Acts 1:8. Yeah. We would have thought about that differently. I think that 30 years ago, going to the ends of the earth meant literally going to the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
But now the gospel can be heard in every single corner of the earth. That's from from any place, the other place in the earth, where it's really unprecedented times where we have that kind of opportunity. So yeah, that's good.
Good.
All right. My number one this is one that I never had the courage to do as a resolution for me at the church I was pastoring. But if I were pastoring this church today, I think my first resolution would be setting a rule of no notes on stage, having no notes on stage. So whether that be, here's two parts to that. Number one, when you're preaching or doing announcements, I think trying to do that without notes on stage. And the even bigger challenge, I think, when I brought up this idea before, was having our worship team not have notes on stage. I don't know if they have them on stage at your church or not, but just that the power of being free from that barrier of a music stand or a podium or something like that. I think there's just a lot of value in that. It's been one of my goals to preach with less and less notes. I've never been a reader when I was up there, but I've always been kind of an outline guy. So I have an outline, and I tried to reduce the length of that outline more and more, but I was never able to totally wean myself off of looking at some kind of notes. But that would be one of my big goals. And I think the reason for that is that it really helps you connect with whoever your audience is more. If you're not looking at something, and it feels just, ups the authenticity of something. I think it's certainly with worship, there's a lot of authenticity that's lost if people are seeing you reading something that's in front of you, or reading the words, or, you know, I think it's certainly important for the singers, maybe for musicians, having some kind of notations up there could be okay. But I think it just kind of removes some of those barriers and the ability people have to connect with you when you're on stage, if you're kind of operating through notes on something like that. So what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think that could be a challenge for a lot of churches. You know, it's funny, you've made me think of my church. And as you know, we've mentioned this before in past podcasts too. I'm a part of a large mega-sized church here in the greater Austin, Texas Texas area. And so production's a big deal and all of that. Yeah. And yeah, our worship team does not have them, but our pastor still has, you know, the podium, and he has some notes there. He's a very good preaching yeah, pastor good. And mm-hmm. he's great at what he does. There's a reason why as many people want to hear from him. He's done really well at not having to look at them, but they're still there. And sometimes they'll have to go back a little bit. So I think it's even hard for the large mega sized church to do that. But if you can, I agree with you. I mean, one of the things that he does a great job of is making it very conversational, and you feel like even though it's a large church, you're connecting with him, and he connects well to the audience. And so I agree with you. I think that should be a great goal.
Yeah. I think it's challenging no matter who you are. I think it's a decision that you have to make. I've heard it said that the challenge is that you need to not memorize your talk, but you need to actually like internalize your talk and really understand your talk. And to do this, I would imagine it would take several runs with notes, you know, just practicing out loud to yourself. That's a practice that I was in. I always preached my sermons to my computer screen before I gave them to an audience live on Sunday mornings there. And I think really internalizing it, thinking through the topic on your own and having it there. But I will admit it's scary to not have that crutch, because, you know, what happens if I forget the second part of point two or something like that I need to say, you know, you're caught up there without notes. It's scary, but I think there's a lot of value to something like that.
That's good. Yeah. Well, I'll go with my second one here.
Go for it.
And that is you, meaning the pastor and your staff, need to be in shape. We all have that goal that's one of the first things people think of with a resolution, right?
Yep.
But I think it's a very healthy thing. I think that when you see a lot of the more success, now hear me the right way. I'm going to take a step back here. We know there's a balance to all this. I'm not recommending everyone becomes a bodybuilder or does high intensity fitness. And because we can go off the deep end there. We know what scripture says that profits little, but I think that's to go over the line there. And, you know, again, everything in moderation, right? We know how scripture teaches that and the word teaches that. But I think that when you look at successful churches, and I don't mean just that your goal is to become a mega-sized church or to be successful in the world's view, but the people are in shape and it makes them better for ministry. And I think that, unfortunately, some of the most overweight people and obese people are in churches. You know, you think of the Sunday, not all the ways, but a lot of times you think of the Sunday potluck, or, you know, they love their, I've heard pastors, put it to you this way, why I thought of that. I've heard pastors tell me, well, you know, I'm a preacher, so I like to eat. You know, we go out to eat, and that's what we do. We do the potlucks, and maybe that's some of the more of the traditional mindset. But I think it's going to free you up for ministry. It's just going to make you more effective. And I think that people will kind of, I don't know, respect you a little bit more if you're taking care of yourself. Again, there's degrees of all of this, but your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard. I think that's one of those things that as someone that you're in much better shape than I am. Obviously, I know that's something you've taken seriously over the past several years. And, you know, I know that it's not that I don't take it seriously, but I struggle with it probably. I do surf a lot. Yeah.
Surf more. I'm kidding.
But I just like to eat a lot too. So I'm one of those guys. So I don't know. We have this, I confess this to my church. I've always pastored and been really open and vulnerable, but I had to confess to my church that there's been times where it talks about how the pagans do this, that their God is their stomach. And I've had to say that at times, like, you know, I struggle with this, that sometimes that I make decisions based on, you know, what I get to eat next. And it's in my thought life a lot. And so, but I think even more than, you know, just the appearance side of things, which is there's value to that. I'm not going to go against that. I think just like that, it makes you like when you're exercising and you're eating healthy, I think it helps you think more clearly. It helps you rest better at night. It helps you. There's all kinds of evidence that it makes you more effective, whether you're a pastor or having any kind of a job.
Yeah.
I think that it really changes your outlook on those kinds of things, and it makes you more effective. So I certainly don't disagree with that. I just recognize that it's hard.
It's definitely
saying something
hard
like that. And I think that especially like to make it make it for a church. Like, I think that it's one thing for people individually to do that, but you know, people don't like being told that they're fat, I've found.
No, they don't. And to be clear, when I say you should be and your staff should be in better shape, I'm not recommending that you mandate everyone get on a strict diet and fitness plan or anything like that. Or, you know, they got to stop eating all their food. You'd probably lose some staff members if you did that. And it would come off as mean, but it should be encouraged to be healthy and in shape for ministry for sure. And like you said, for all the other benefits as well.
And it's, the last church I pastored, we had 4 or 5 women on our staff, and I'm just imagining how I would have delivered this information to them. So I've been praying about it, and I've decided that our church, one of our resolutions is all of us are going to have to get in shape and lose weight. And, you know, it's a tough conversation. So prayerfully consider this one, pastors.
Maybe encourage one-on-one and encourage like someone that's close to someone else to go share that with someone. I don't know.
Start small, pray about it. Start with like everything else. What's the old saying? If you want to start a revival, draw a circle around yourself and start there. If you want your staff to get in shape, draw a circle around you and say, this guy's going to get in shape first. So I think that's a good one, but
that's funny.
All right, let me hit my number two. It's one that I probably have talked about this on our podcast before, but start a church blog. I think that would be an encouragement that I think you'll need to resolve to do if it's something that you want to do. I talk to a lot of people that understand or kind of had this idea about blogging where they'd say, I'd like to do a blog. I'd like to blog for my church, but I want to tell you that it takes real resolve to do that. It'll take you hard work and time to really do a good job with something like that there. So the benefits are enormous. In fact, we actually outlined a whole nother podcast. I think the next episode, episode number 27, is going to be reasons why you ought to start a church blog, because there's a lot of value to that. But I think I know for the church that I pastored last, we blogged, I say religiously, we blogged very consistently. We built a team around it and we all wrote in that. And it was really our secret sauce to getting visitors in there. We grew our visibility in our community by blogging. And I think it's something that every church really ought to consider. There's tons of reasons why, but blogging is something that I would resolve to do this year if I was pastoring a church right now. So thoughts?
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, one of the things I thought of too with that is that I think it's good for your brain too. You know, I mean, it's kind of like the goal of reading X amount of books each year. That's a good thing. It's going to keep you smart. It's going to be fulfilling. Blogging, I've found when I've done it, it's the same thing. It's you end up, I feel good after I do it. You know, I put thought into a topic or a subject and expounded upon it and had certain points and I accomplished it. And it makes you stay up on your vocabulary too. So I've found that even though it takes work, it's a very fulfilling thing to do. Is it, you know, we blog here at Reach Right, and I've been active with the blogging team at times. And each time it's been a real fulfilling thing for me that way. So yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I think at Reach Right, it's obvious that that's our a platform that has made an enormous impact in our company as a whole. You know, Ian, you're able to have, you know, a few dozen conversations on any given single day with people. I'm the same way. Other team members here at Reach Right, they can have a dozen or so conversations. We see on our small days 2,000 people that are engaging with our blog posts. On big days, it's over 6,000 people that are getting on there and reading blog posts. And one of the crazy things about this, and I don't want to take away all the conversation from the next one, but one of the crazy things is this is really, it's not just linear growth. It has been exponential growth. We kind of set goals for our blogging, and part of it is being consistent. Like I'll say this too, is that if you are going to do a church blog, which we encourage you to do, and it should be a resolution, you have to do it consistently. It can't be, yeah. I'm going to start a church blog, and when I feel like it, I will blog. You have to decide, yeah. yep. I'm going to do it weekly. I want to write every single week. I want to write something. It's going to be this long, and you have to commit to doing it, because if you do it six times over the next year, it's not going to make any kind of an impact. But because we've done long form 2,000 word posts at ReachWrite, we've done it for 4 years without stopping. Every single week, we've done at least one, sometimes two of those blog posts without yeah. missing a single week. That has led to thousands of people doing this, and literally dozens of people every single day engaging with us, yeah. asking for help on website related stuff yeah. or Google grant related stuff, whatever it would be. Yeah. And so I think that that's something that churches, there's no reason why this can't apply to your church too, is that there are people in your community that are searching for all kinds of topics there.
Yeah.
And if you become the authority on them and write on them on your church blog, I think that it can make a huge impact, and you'll get lots of eyes on your stuff there.
Yeah. I'll leave you with this thought, and folks listening with this thought too, is that I remember one of my first blog posts that I did, and this was back when you and I, when you started, when you planted a church here and I came on board with you and got licensed as a pastor. And we wanted to start blogging as a church. And, I put one out there. I'll never forget the title of it, is that sin is fun. Okay. And the whole goal with this was just talking about the reality that there's a lot of things that are desirable with the flesh and all that. But here's what it led to. It led to someone that I was having a conversation with and who saw it on our church's website. It led to a conversation to lead them to Jesus. They actually they weren't following God, and the topic was, the title was intriguing to them, and they started reading, and then they just talked about how, yeah, you know, I took part in a sin that was fun, and then it ended up destroying their career. It ended up just, you know, steering to a conversation that led her closer to Christ. So there's a good thing to lead out with too. It could be something that someone sees and they needed to hear it and they get in touch with you. So
that's awesome, man. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Good.
Well, hit your number three final, for us.
Yeah. Number three is kind of just, you know, might be just a little general, but spend more time with family. I kind of was thinking through it. Reason I thought of this, I mean, that should always be a goal, right? For any pastor or church leader, but we have come out of a very unique year, probably the most unique year I've been alive in. You know, we've seen a lot of things from, I know you and I were alive during 9/11 and a lot of other just, you know, wars and things, but this has been a crazy year. And I think that, you know, people got to stop and kind of realize what matters most, you know, and I think a lot of us who are in ministry, we see these things as a sign of the Lord returning sooner. We don't know that time, and we're not going to get all doomsday or, apocalyptic here today. But the fact of the matter is we're coming out of a tough year. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff's going to spill over into 2021, but I think that if anything, that I was, one of the main things I was taught and that God helped me with this year was to just, you know, spend valuable quality time with the people that matter most, your wife, your children, or your grandkids, or whoever it would be, spend as much time. And I know that's been a challenge. People have been distanced. Some people haven't distanced at all. And it's been a real kind of a up or down type thing. But I think no matter what, however you can spend that time, do more of it in 2021.
Well, I couldn't disagree more. That's I think that, I don't know. Like, part of me is, at first when you said that, I'm like, my goodness, I have spent nothing but time with my family for the past 9 months.
I get it.
And I know a lot of our audience is working from home, and I know a lot of men who are pastors of churches and have kids, and they get to be around what their wives and kids are doing 24/7. They're like, they have a new appreciation for what the ladies in our lives are doing. Yeah. At least I do, having to see, not just having my kids are home from school. I'm home. My wife is home. We're all here. We're one big happy family.
Yeah. We're parents that have been forced to become school teachers.
Absolutely.
Virtual school teachers.
Oh my goodness.
I totally get that. You know, But at the same time, I think what we've seen, and a couple of the things that I thought of that made me want to share that as my third and final one, was that we have seen, unfortunately, the suicide rate has gone up. Depression has gone up. Obviously, there was a recent, wasn't a Barna study, but there was a recent one that was done where we saw just that. I saw some numbers that were just kind of staggering, but at the same time, made me think of that. So know what matters most, you know, God and family, as people try to say it. So,
yeah, that's it. Yeah. I think that's a really good one, Ian, that, I think that while we have been surrounded by family, most of us, those of us that don't live alone, we've been surrounded by our immediate family. I think there's a lot of value to spending time with extended family. I know a lot of us miss that. And how many of us said, you know, when I can finally travel again, I can't wait to get over to see so-and-so or to go to this place. Like we have this pent up demand to go out there and do those things. And I think don't let that wane, this desire you have to be with family. But I think especially with the immediate family, just, things, God willing, will go back to something not normal, but something that looked like it did in 2019 a little bit, this year, as people hopefully get vaccinated and that gets better in 2021, that maybe some things might just get to slide back. I think it's important that we resolve to not lose the ground that we maybe gained with our family and our intimacy and being able to spend time with kids and husbands and wives together. So I think that's really good. Just not losing sight of that, even as this, this time shifts from us here. So, but it has been crazy. It has been a crazy year.
In closing on that one, you know, I had a conversation with a grandmother. She was a church administrator, but it was a grandmother. And what made me kind of sad was when I wished her a Merry Christmas, she said that basically she was just going to be at home all by herself, for Christmas. And so when we have, as things hopefully get better and, you know, people get vaccinated, especially if you're that grandparent that's been separated or that person with a pre-existing condition or whatever, really hope you get some great quality time with your family. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good. So, well, let me wrap up with mine. Number three for me is resolve this year, or make a resolution as your church, to define your slogan and your verbiage that you use at the church there. I think so often this is one of those things that's just it's seen as not a necessity, and it just gets backburnered and tabled over and over again. You know how many conversations you and I have, Ian, where, we're doing major branding work or major web development projects, and one of the last things churches can give us is the verbiage about what they believe and their ministries. And even the simple, like the stuff that we should know, is mission and vision and slogans and catchphrases, values, those kinds of things. That kind of stuff. And I think the reason for that is it just takes a lot of mental energy and teamwork to do something like this and to get the buy-in that you need to do it. But it is so valuable to have that kind of stuff written down, being used everywhere and ready to go. Because, you know, you and I know that so often those conversations are, well, that's a work in progress. You know, we're not quite there yet. We're still working on that right now. Yep. And I think if you do it right, you know, it's something that you can't just, it's not going to be the same for 50 years, but I think it should last you for maybe a generation of ministry can be operating on these values, this vision statement, this kind of a slogan. It's nothing you're going to reinvent every 6 months or something like that. So
hope not. You'd probably have some issues at the church if you're reinventing
you
it that
often. Do. But I think if you're a new pastor at a church, I think that's something that you probably should do within the first couple of years of coming into that place and kind of helping to think through how the church talks about itself and what you're all about and what your values are. Because I think that that's something that really, the saying is that you're not saying it too much unless everybody starts telling you they're sick of hearing you talk about it. Then you're saying it enough at that point. So I think really ironing out those things, getting those slogans, getting those catchphrases. And here's the reality is it probably is going to take you organizing and setting aside large chunks of time with other people to go through that process. There are some great books out there we can put in the notes of this episode on how to walk through that. But I think that, you know, a lot of churches, they'll do a retreat for this. They'll spend, when we can have retreats again and go to places together, but they'll let's spend, Let's spend two full days where we just kind of talk through some of these processes, iron out who we're trying to reach and what we want to say to them and what is that thing that they're looking for and what is our community like, doing some of those demographic type things. All of that is really valuable and it'll last you a long time. So here's the encouragement: is resolve to set aside some time to do this.
Yep.
Take 16 hours and really just pour in and build a team around this. I think it'll be really a good thing. So thoughts?
Yeah. Not much more to add. You covered a lot of good stuff there. But what I would also say is we're always thinking about, you know, wanting, you know, our church to be on board with a vision for the first of the year. And not that you get this stuff done right and can get it all finished in January or something like that. But once you do have this stuff down and written out, your church and members can get behind it.
Yeah.
And I think that everyone's going to need to be behind kind of one single vision and plan and all of that. You know, that's always a good thing to lead out with in the new year as well.
Yep. Last week, or I guess a couple weeks ago now, we did a whole podcast that was about the ways to do a church or what not to do with your church slogan or your tagline on your website. So that's a good place to start for people if you want some just quick hits on those kinds of things. But yeah, I think that'll be that would be a great thing to tackle here and a great thing to resolve to do. So, well, good. Yeah, I hope this is, I believe 2021 is going to be a great year. I think that if we look the right way, there's been a lot of good things that have happened in 2020 even, and lots of things we didn't like, I think, but there's a lot for us to be thankful for. And I think 2021 is going to be a great year. So for our audience out there, we're thankful that you're part of the Reach Right Nation here. And you're part of this each week with us, praying for a great 2021 for each and every one of those churches you guys represent. So just wanted to, from the Reach Right family, be here to say Happy New Year, guys.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Yep, we'll talk to you guys in 2021.
There we go.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.